worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Make me like you, Lord, please make me like you. You are a servant, make me one too. Lord, I am willing, do what you must do to make me like you. Make me like you. Make me like you, Lord. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too. To make me like you, Lord, please make me like you. Live your life in me, O my God. Fit me to the image of your own. Live your life in me until all that's left to see is your love, your glory alone. Live your life in me, O my God. Fit me to the image of your own. Live your life in me until all that's left to see is your love, your glory alone. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Thank you. Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We're together on this road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. Born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too.
Hey, everybody. It is good to be together with you again. Of course, I mean that in a not gathering together sort of way of being with you. And with that, I want to offer a bit of a shout out to all the moms today. A happy Mother's Day to each of you, wherever you are right now, wherever and however you are listening. Know that we celebrate you. We pray God's blessing on you. Thank you for all the ways that you sacrifice and serve, giving of yourselves. What is, I think, a profound selflessness? What is, in a word, a love that is not to be confused, writes Martin Luther King Jr., not to be confused with some sentimental outpouring. Love is something much more than emotional bosh. Although love, it can definitely, let me interject this, although love, I think, can definitely include that kind of emotion in the best sense of that, right? That kind of tenderness. He then goes on, overflowing love, which seeks nothing in return, is the love of God operating in the human heart. We could say in a mother's heart, right? In a mother's love for her children, a grandmother's love for her grandchildren, an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. That is the love of God, a love that is to be an expression of our hearts, all of our hearts, a love that is to be a demonstration of how we do life with others. And it's not just for moms, a love, and we can think agape, what is a benevolence and a goodwill that seeks nothing but the highest good of the other. A love, or we could say a way of love, we find, I think, articulated, expressed in the Gospel of John in chapter 21. Now, to set the scene, imagine with me you are Peter. You are a disciple of Jesus. You are a follower of Jesus, watching, listening, learning. In fact, you've been one of his closest disciples these past 3 years. You've given your life, dedicated yourself to following Jesus. But everything has changed. Jesus has been arrested, and with that, fear has started to settle into your bones a bit. At the house of the high priest, 3 different people identify you as a follower of Jesus, and each time you deny it. then a rooster crows, and with it comes this painful awareness, right? Your gut kind of aches, right? How could have you done such a thing? The next day, Jesus, he is hung on a cross. Soon he is dead and is buried. And in that moment, everything you have lived for, the whole of the past 3 years, all of it is seemingly gone. And then you hear the news that the tomb is empty. And so you run, and you run fast, and then you see it for yourself. And in a sense, that fear kind of grabs hold again, right? This understanding, this idea that they've killed Jesus, right? They've killed Jesus. You may be next. And so then, hiding in a room, Jesus appears. And in this moment, maybe your fear is overcome with joy, and this risen Christ, Jesus, this risen Jesus, he is speaking peace. And so you are filled again with all sorts of kind of mixed emotion. In one sense, joy, maybe some fear, confusion, shame, uncertainty. And now, not sure what to do next, you return to Galilee, to an old familiar place, which is often the case when things are kind of out of sorts, right? We long for the more familiar, for what is the known. And now in this moment, gathered together with some of the other disciples, you head out on the water for some fishing. You find comfort in this return to a familiar routine and rhythm. And it's here, Peter, the boat, the old familiar life, and it's here that Jesus appears. He comes again, Jesus, the now resurrected Jesus, right? He comes to Peter. And it's here, his last moments on earth. Before ascending to heaven, John 21 records for us, I believe, one of the most important testimonies of what it means to live this moment in time. What it looks like to invest, to engage, to share this moment. What it looks like to get on with, to live this moment in time. And what I want us to get is to keep in mind Jesus, right? He could have said anything here. And it is precisely for that reason that the words he chooses to speak matter most. Words recorded for us from John 21 and verse 15. It's there we read, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And then again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He, Simon Peter, answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And then we read the third time, he, Jesus, said to him, "Simon," aka Peter, "son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He, Peter, said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So what can we make of this? Noting that all of Scripture is really an invitation, right? This invitation for us to enter into the story, and with that, for the story to enter into us. And here, the risen Jesus, and with him, Peter, and we can imagine the waves are lapping at the shore. There's a gentle breeze, the warmth of a fire. Notice two things here. First, this moment in time, and we can think back to last week, to invest, to engage, to live this moment in time, right? And here, all of this investing, engaging, living, notice it's all about the love. This moment in time, it is all about the love. Here, in a kind of resurrection farewell address, this is Jesus, his final words that he speaks, his last words, and what he says is, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And then again, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Now, let's be clear. This is not insecure Jesus. This is not Jesus with some kind of an inferiority complex. This is not some self-esteem boost Jesus is looking for. Remember, Jesus could have said anything, and what he chose to say is, "Do you love me?" He did not ask Peter to delineate progressive sanctification. He did not ask Peter about his views on tribulation theology. He did not ask Peter to elaborate on atonement doctrine. He didn't even ask Peter if he was Republican or Democrat, right? There's none of that. This moment, it is all about the love. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not behavioral modification. It's not a systematic thesis, a system of beliefs. Jesus, he could have asked or said anything, which makes what he did say, what he did ask, absolutely massive. Remember, this is the resurrected Jesus. This is his last recorded message. Some of the last words Jesus speaks, he could have said anything. He could have asked anything. He could have asked Simon, son of John, have you prayed the sinner's prayer? He could have said, Simon, son of John, have you made a profession of faith? Simon, son of John, have you kept the Sabbath? Simon, son of John, have you remained pure, not lusting? Simon, son of John, have you? And then fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. But interesting, those words, those kinds of questions were not on Jesus' lips that morning, nor were they on his heart. Simon, son of John, Jesus said, do you love me? Right? This was personal. This was intimate. It is all about the love. Henry Blackaby, in his book Experiencing God, he writes, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. He is the one who takes the initiative to bring you into this kind of relationship. This relationship is why you are created. It is the purpose of your life. To love is the highest relationship, the highest achievement, the highest position in life. And it has been that way from the very beginning, the opening days of creation. We find it central to the Ten Commandments. Love is central to the Shema, the greatest commandment to the ancient Jews, right? To the early followers of Jesus. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 tells us, attention, Israel. God, our God, God the one and only. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that is in you. Love him with all you've got. Noting also that when asked about the greatest commandment, Jesus responds saying, Matthew 22 and 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Again, it is all about the love. The resurrected Jesus, his disciples, the seashore, Peter, do you love me more than these? It's an invitation. It's a calling. First thing, it is all about the love. Second, it's all about our care and compassion for others. Noting that with every invitation of love, do you love me, is a pronouncement of care and compassion for others, right? Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. And Peter understood this. In fact, from a letter he wrote later on, we find recorded in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, reading, the end of all things is near. This is Peter writing, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And then we read, above all, meaning most importantly, more than anything else, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. And then here is what that looks like. Peter goes on, offer hospitality to one another. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Meaning with every invitation to love is this expression of care and compassion. Peter got it, right? Do you love me? Is revealed, expressed in our care and compassion for others, for the other. Peter got it, but not only Peter, from 1 John 4 and verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So Peter got it. John got it. Jesus, he taught it. Let's go to Matthew 25 and 34. This is Jesus speaking. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then he lays it out. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And then dropping down to verse 40, the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." First thing, it is all about the love. And with that, it is all about our care and compassion for others. The resurrected Jesus in his last hours with his disciples, an opportunity to say whatever he wanted, whatever was needed, whatever was of greatest significance for us to hear and to know. There and then and here and now, this moment in time, and what matters most, above all, more than anything else, do you love me more than these? First thing, right? It's all about the love. Leading me to ask, are we living this invitation to love? Are you, am I, are we living this invitation to love? We could ask, do we consider love to be above all else? Do we consider love to be above all else? Do our moments, this moment right here, right now, does it reflect the way of love? Do our moments reflect the way of love? Does this moment reflect the way of love? Do you love me more than these? And with that, then, feed my lambs, right? Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. It is all about our care and our compassion for the other. Meaning we could ask, do our relationships go the way of care and compassion? Do our relationships go the way of care and compassion? Do we offer empathy and kindness to those we encounter? People we know, people we don't know, people we live with, people we don't live with, people we like, people we don't like, people that we see eye to eye, people that maybe we don't see eye to eye. Do we offer empathy and kindness to all those we encounter? Do we engage others with a love that seeks nothing but their highest good? Do we engage others with a love that seeks nothing but their highest good? Right? Jesus, he could have asked or said anything, which makes what he did say of absolutely profound significance. Today on Mother's Day, but not just on Mother's Day, absolutely for moms, but not just for moms, do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Let's pray. Our loving and gracious God, we thank you for this day, for this moment. We thank you for the moms. We thank you for their care, for all the ways they serve and sacrifice, their selflessness, for their expressions of love, their care and compassion. And with that, we recognize your invitation is for each one of us. Each of us, as we connect and invest and engage others, it is to be an offering of love, expressing a care and a compassion. And so I pray, God, that you would move us, mold us, make us, shape us more and more into a loving, caring, compassionate people. Maybe according to your purpose and for your glory. And for your kingdom's sake, together we pray. Amen.